Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and what is going on? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. I am Justin Spears here with Dominic Machaco. As always, Arizona basketball only podcast right here on the Wildcaster, Tucson.com, and the Wildcaster app. So, before we get into our first segment, just kind of break down what we got ahead for us. We have Twitter mailbag. Again, those who are tuning in for the Twitter mailbag, we'll get to your questions later on in the podcast. We'll break down Arizona and Colorado and pretty much the rivalry that has been spiced up by Tad Boyle's hell yes comments.
Hell yeah.
On Arizona's involvement in the FBI probe. But first, let's go ahead and talk about All-Stars. It got us thinking the NBA All-Star game was, or the roster was finalized earlier on Tuesday. A couple snubs, I would say. Would you say, Dom?
Snubs are fair.
Yeah.
You know, All-Stars always get people riled up.
You're a Warriors fan.
They never get me as riled up as other people do. It's the All-Star game. It's pretty irrelevant on the grand scheme of things. I mean, I know players like being in it. You saw Lou Williams kind of, what did he say today? Did you see that tweet?
LOL.
Yeah, LOL. And then I think it was Bleacher Report or someone quoted it or took a picture of the tweet and said, was this in reference to his NBA snub, quote unquote?
Said,
and then Lou Williams quoted that and goes, hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
So people definitely get riled up about it. Yeah, there's some snubs, but I mean, you know, it's the All-Star game. When it means something,
there's always going to be a snub. Not everybody's always going to be happy.
Absolutely.
A couple snubs that I thought should have been in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. One of them being Paul George, considering, you know, he's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year.
Would you go? Would have you gone Oladipo or Green?
That's different. The Eastern Conference is a lot different because the fact that Green made the Western Conference All-Star list, I thought it was because he was the best defender on the best team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right.
And he averages 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. People look at All-Star numbers and think, oh, a guy must be averaging 20-plus, at least getting close to double figures in rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much, I think Draymond got voted in because of his value.
Absolutely. No,
which is crazy to think that All-Star games actually cherish value to a team rather than the MVP.
They're like, it's like a ranking for most valuable player.
Yeah, I know, right?
like, here's your mid-season MVP rankings. Because you're right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Draymond Green is there. I almost said DeAndre Ayton. Next year.
Next
Draymond
year.
Green's there because he's the best defender on the best team in the league. But moving forward into Pac-12 All-Stars.
You got us thinking. So Dom and I were thinking today that, you know, if NBA All-Stars were to have a game in or around this time, why not make a Pac-12 All-Star list of the best basketball players? So Dom and I are going to go ahead and break down our starting five, and we also have a couple of bench points. Again, feel free to hit us up on the Wildcaster on Twitter, on Facebook. You can comment on the post. Give us your top five. Give us some bench players, whatever you want to provide us. And, we'll value that. So, Dom, go ahead and give us your starting five and who you got for your Pac-12 All-Star roster.
We'll start out with starting five and then move on to our bench.
Go to bench.
Oh, yeah, we probably got a lot of the same players when it comes to the bench, too. I'm going to go Jordan McLaughlin from USC, Alonzo Trier, Reed Travis, DeAndre Ayton.
That's a good pick.
DeAndre Ayton and Thomas Welsh.
Well, I like...
as my surprise five.
I like McLaughlin in that list. I didn't choose McLaughlin as my point guard. I was actually thinking about getting him.
Yeah.
Just because, man, he facilitates the game.
That's exactly why I picked him. I think when you look at overall body of work from point guards in the Pac-12, he is probably the best overall point guard.
Yeah, well, he leads the conference in assists.
Yeah, he leads the conference in my assists, but I think he's, like, too clear of the next guy, who's McKinley from Colorado. Like
McKinley Wright.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you're looking for a point guard, I don't think there's a better option out there than Jordan from USC. Thomas Welsh is kind of the surprise pick in my starting five, I guess, if you wanted to throw one out there. Second in rebounding. One thing that sticks out to me is he's gotten better every single year at USC. Is he a senior now?
UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA, my bad. So he's gotten better every year in almost every category, and that speaks volumes to me. And for how, I don't want to say mediocre, but for how middle of the pack in the Pac-12 UCLA is this year, I think he's kind of held them together. He's kind of that glue. For losing a lot of guys from last year and having a lot of turnover, I think he's kind of stepped up and been one of their go-to guys, and he's kept them in a Pac-12 race that could come down in the last few weeks.
So. Well, and he's also stepped up for UCLA because, as we all know, three UCLA...
Sorry if I kept saying USC.
No, you're good. No, we talked about Jordan McLaughlin. UCLA, so. Yeah, no, as we all know, UCLA lost three players at the start of the year. LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill.
Right.
All three of those guys were supposed to be rotational players, key members of this UCLA team. You take them out of the equation, guys got to step up. So then you start seeing point guard play out of Jalen Hands. Then you start seeing Thomas Welsh. It completely opened up the door for him because not only is he a veteran, but I mean, when you're down three guys, somebody's got to step up. And I think that's actually a pretty good pick, having Thomas Welsh in that starting lineup. I like that.
You like Trae Young on Oklahoma?
I wish he was in the Pac-12.
He's got 10 double-doubles. You know how many Welsh has?
I don't know.
12.
12, wow.
So more double-doubles than the best player in the country. I'll take Thomas Welsh in my starting five.
That deserves Owen Wilson.
Wow. We keep saying that every podcast. I feel like we're going to have that on here. Next podcast, we will have a Jordan Wilson tidbit for you guys.
Wow. Sorry. All right. So for my starting five, I'm going to go ahead and at the point guard position – he's not necessarily a true point guard. He's not going to facilitate the game, but what for the right system, he's been phenomenal, and that's been Trey Holder Bobby Hurley. He's a senior. He's a fantastic three-point shooter. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the conference. He's one of the best scorers in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe he is the third leading scorer in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Which really says something, considering...
With all the scores you have in
with all the scores they have on ASU. So... Yeah. For the year that he's having, and in a phenomenal year that ASU is having, he's the face of that team. If there's anybody on ASU that you're going to put into the Pac-12 All-Star list, you're going to have to put Trey Holder. So he's my point guard.
Absolutely.
Shooting guard, Alonzo Trier, we all know what he can do. He's the second leading scorer in the Pac-12, and he's also number one at getting to the free throw line, I believe. Mm-hmm. So... His skill set and what he brings for Arizona, it's uncanny.
That's my big thing with Trier, too, is getting to the line. I mean, I know he struggled doing that in a few recent games for Arizona, but you look at guys in the Pac-12 who you want on your team in the closing minutes of a tight game in March, Trier's going to be your number one pick every single time.
Every single time.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're assembling any kind of list in the Pac-12 if Alonzo Trier's on it.
All right, and for my small forward, I threw in another UCLA Bruin, Aaron Holiday. Just like with Thomas Welsh, those three UCLA players that got caught shoplifting in China, they got arrested, and they were suspended indefinitely. It just completely opened up the door for Aaron Holiday. He's been great for UCLA.
Absolutely. Well, he's always played... I don't want to say second fiddle, but he's always come off the bench for them, and he's put up huge...
Even last year.
Yeah, huge. I mean, yeah, coming off behind Lonzo Ball and Alford. So he's kind of always been their bench guy, and I think he stepped up this year. He's fifth in the Pac-12 in scoring. And, I mean, again, I know this isn't a list of most valuable players like it is in the NBA, but you're talking worth to the team. He's definitely up there.
Absolutely. And my front court... very similar to yours, Travis Reed out of Stanford. Mm-hmm. I think he showed us all against Arizona what he's capable of. Because there was a couple times where he actually backed down DeAndre Ayton.
Fell out.
And he felt like a... When I was looking at Travis Reed play, it reminded me of a pit bull. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not as tall as DeAndre Ayton, but he was actually putting his shoulder into him. And again, DeAndre Ayton, I think, got a couple questionable foul calls on him.
Absolutely.
But Travis Reed...
One in particular.
Yeah.
that's your couple F-bombs from Sean Miller. Mm-hmm.
that gets you a technical foul.
No, that's the thing, though. He's physical enough and he's big enough. He has enough of a presence inside where he can make a guy like DeAndre Ayton work for it.
He reminds me of Julius Randle.
Ooh,
From
Kentucky?
Kentucky.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. From Kentucky. He plays with the Lakers. I was never not to get that twisted. And then my starting center, even though he doesn't play center at U of A, which is weird, DeAndre Ayton, probably going to be a number one overall pick in June. I say probably. I think he is.
He's a top three.
Top three
minimum,
for sure.
Minimum.
He was just on SportsCenter on Tuesday night with Scott Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. People know about DeAndre Ayton. You see all the national headlines of college basketball. DeAndre Ayton is always at the top.
I think the three guys you have to have on this list, and we both have them in our starting five, so I'm glad I say that. Three guys you have to have on the list are Trier, Travis Reed, and Reed Travis and DeAndre Ayton.
I say Travis Reed.
Did you say Travis Reed?
Reed Travis.
It is Reed Travis.
It is Reed Travis.
Two first names, man. It throws you off. Reed Travis.
Anyways, Travis.
Those are our top five. I'll go through my bench really quick here. And again, a lot of these guys are I think one of them. You didn't say Bibbins yet, did you?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'll lead off my bench with him. Justin Bibbins from Utah.
Same.
Then I'll go Trey Holder. George King from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And my wildest of wild cards, I think, Tris Tinkle.
Tris Tinkle, the coach's kid.
Exactly. Well, you know, He's
only a sophomore, too.
Yeah, he's a good scorer. I think he's one of the...
From Oregon State.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of a do-it-all player on the court. You know, he is very effective in a lot of areas. He averages 7 boards a game. He is the 6th leading scorer in the Pac-12 when he picks up 7 boards. So, I mean, any guy who goes out and gets 18-7 as a sophomore, he's going to catch my eye. And again, he's only a sophomore, so he's going to be making noise for years to come. Yeah. I don't think he's a draft pick next year.
No.
So he'll be here for another 2 years. He's going to be making a lot of noise in the Pac-12, so keep your eye on him.
I think Wayne Tinkle Pops is going to keep him around for a couple years.
Exactly.
I am like you, Dom. Mm-hmm. Justin Bibbins, the guard from Utah, the Long Beach State transfer. Great scorer, man. One of the most surprising players of the Pac-12. If there was such thing as a breakthrough or breakout player, I think you got to give it to him. Because, I mean, even though Arizona beat Utah pretty handedly, Utah came back in the second half, and they were putting up a barrage of three-pointers. Justin Bibbins was at the forefront of that. Wherever Bibbins goes, Utah goes. That's why I like him.
Absolutely.
And then another guard, Dejon Davis from Stanford. He was once a Washington commit for Lorenzo Romar. Then once Romar got fired, came to Arizona, he decided to go to Stanford. He was another player that I was very impressed with late in the game against Arizona. Mm-hmm. I thought Parker Jackson Cartwright did a decent job on him. Mm-hmm. But watching him play throughout the season, I've been nothing but impressed with Dejon Davis.
Well, you know, I'm glad you bring him up because he was going to be on my... If he wasn't on your bench, I was going to throw him in there the last second. I'm trying to think now. I'm probably going to be wrong now that I'm making this claim. Probably the biggest shot in... Again, I'm not going to go there. I was going to say biggest shot of the year in the Pac-12. Davis's buzzer beater to beat USC.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
he's that kind of player. He brings the spark. He'll hit big shots. And again, he's a freshman. He's another guy right alongside Trey Stinkle who's going to be making noise in the Pac-12 for years to come. And yeah, he's a freshman. And so what he's already doing, I mean, he's averaging 9 points off the bench, getting a solid amount of minutes. But he's already had that impact for Stanford.
I like him. And again, anytime that you're looked at as a Lorenzo Romar prodigy. Mm-hmm. He was going to be that guy. He was going to be a Markel Fultz, a Nate Robinson, a Brandon Roy. I mean, there's been a lot of guards that have been through Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a great guy. He's definitely a great player. Didn't go to Washington. He's now at Stanford with Romar at Arizona. And my last player for my bench, probably a player if he were to make some noise as much as his expectations were at the beginning of the year, is Chimezie Metu. I mean, a lot of people even said that Chimezie Metu has the potential to be a second-team All-American. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's that kind of talent. You could see him possibly go late in the first round of the NBA draft or early second
just
round.
Just because he's that versatile, has he's that athletic. NBA frame.
He's athletic. I mean, he's about 6'10", 6'11".
Is he that tall?
Or something like, maybe shorter than that. He might be right around like 6'9". Nice height. He's long. He could play defense. He's very athletic.
He's 6'11", 225.
Exactly.
That
so
is athletic.
He's very athletic.
Absolutely.
He kind of reminds me of Kevin Garnett in some ways. But he can actually get you to come outside. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's definitely an anchor for USC.
Oh, absolutely. And a USC team we thought would be a lot better. One more interesting tidbit about Trace Tinkle. I didn't think I'd focus this much on him. On my
you
bench.
Like Trace Tinkle.
On my bench.
Right,
I do like him. He has scored double digits in every single game for Oregon State this year. Alonzo Trier cannot say that. DeAndre Ayton cannot say that.
Boom, roasted.
Meaning nobody on Arizona could say it. So Trace Tinkle is my guy on the bench, if not my sixth man.
With that, I think it's now time to transition into maybe the reason why a couple listeners are even still listening to this podcast. The
thank
Twitter...
you for that. If that's true, thank you for bearing with us in all my Trace Tinkle talk.
Yeah, like I said, if you love Trace Tinkle, you came to the right place.
Exactly.
All right, so let's go ahead and go to our Twitter mailbag / Facebook mailbag. We'll go ahead and get into our Facebook mailbag. Dom will handle the Twitter questions. The first one, we got a DM from Habib Pierce Bird. And again, for future podcasts, feel free to send in your questions, comments on our Facebook page. You can even just tag us on your Twitter page. Or on the Wildcaster Twitter page, we'll answer them. We promise you we'll get to every question on our next podcast. All right, so Habib Pierce Bird, he said, I have a question for your next podcast. The question is, when is Barcelo going to get more time at point guard? I really like that kid's game. Thank you. So Arizona backup point guard Alex Barcelo was once viewed as the understudy to Parker Jackson Cartwright. He's very undersized, but he knows how to run the game and just get it, all the players to play together. He's a floor general. Mm-hmm. However, he was hurt at the beginning of the year. I believe it was his ankle. Yeah, it was his ankle. He sat out against New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And ever since that point, it just seems like he's never been able to really work himself back into games. We've seen him play spotty minutes here and there. He's played in a couple Pac-12 games, but we've never seen Alex Barcelo get significant minutes. And I'm kind of surprised.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, because you might know better than I would, but I think that ankle injury is something that kind of lingered. I mean, I think he only officially missed New Mexico with it, but kind of like the Emmanuel Aycott knee injury or tendonitis. I think it's something that kind of held him out to the point where Sean Miller goes, okay, we don't need Alex Barcelo to win. We don't want to put his future at the U of A, when he could be a huge part of their lineup next year, we don't want to put that at risk. So if he's got an ankle injury, let's hold him out. Let's sit on it.
Yeah.
Ankle injuries aren't something you want to mess with. You look at Steph Curry, who's suffered several setbacks throughout his career, done okay for himself, but ankle injury after ankle injury after ankle himself. Injury. So it's just a precautionary thing. I think it's hampered him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy at the beginning of the year where you absolutely thought would eat into Parker Jackson Cartwright's minutes and maybe even make a run at a starting job. And I mean, when you look at when is he going to get more minutes in Arizona, I think absolutely next year. I think he's the number two point guard, if not the starting point guard. You get four-star Brandon Williams coming in. He's the only, as of now, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's the only point guard rostered next year for Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, with Barcelo.
Right, yeah, so Williams and Barcelo. I mean, between those two, you're going to have a pretty heated point guard competition.
Yeah.
I think Barcelo might have the upper hand just because he's worked with guys like Parker.
Williams is about 6'4".
He is.
So.
He is. Well, with a year under Miller's system, I like Barcelo to be the leader out of the gate. You might see Williams steal it away later in the year, or even at the beginning of the season, be the starter. But I think Barcelo going into it next year is going to be the guy.
Mm. I like his potential. excuse me. I look at it kind of as we're talking about NBA. I look at it kind of like the Houston Rockets situation. Mm-hmm. Parker Jackson Cartwright right now is Chris Paul. Alonzo Trier is James Harden. And Alonzo Trier's game very much resembles James Harden's
Arizona
game.
Arizona fans aren't going to like you for saying that.
Yeah. I'm sorry I bring up the Sun Devil. But James Harden last year was the team's starting point guard. He learned how to play point guard and facilitate the game. He scored. He got his. Mm-hmm. But he also was able to rack up 11, 12 assists per game. You're starting to see Alonzo Trier kind of take that sort of game where he's going to be a scorer and he's going to get his points, but you'll also see him put up 5, 6 assists, 7 assists per game. When you have a guard like that, you really don't need Barcelo. And I get it, you know, Alonzo Trier is probably going to be playing mm-hmm. more minutes than he should, but if Sean Miller is going to be able to win with 7 guys,
he's going
to
do it.
He's going to win with 7 or 8 guys.
Yeah, he's not just going to throw Barcelo in there because it's your backup point guard and you want to get him minutes. I mean, when Parker Jackson Cartwright's not the one, you see guys like Alonzo Trier playing it, and it's just the way the rotation works. So if Parker comes off the floor and Trier was sitting beforehand, a couple minutes beforehand, and Parker comes off, Trier's going to come back in and play the one. Mm-hmm. You don't need a guy like Alex Barcelo when you have a guy like Alonzo Trier who can flex and play 1, 2, or 3 if need be. Mm-hmm. But again, Barcelo, I think he's got a lot of talent out of Phoenix, and he could be a big part of what Sean Miller does next year, ankle injury pending. Mm-hmm. Moving on to Twitter, again, guys, please hit us up on Twitter, @TheWildcaster. We'll try to be more diligent in these posts in the future, you know, trying to reach out to you guys, but absolutely, for all our listeners, hit us up on Twitter. First one comes in from Twitter user @StuartKratz. General talk about the bench performance, or lack thereof, expectations on those guys for the season and the future. Justin, it's something we've talked about podcast after podcast after podcast. It's there with defense. It's there with Sean Miller against the zone. One of those things that's just going to be a thorn in the side for Arizona all year. Their bench play.
Terrible.
Exactly. And I'm glad, Stuart, thank you for posing this question because it's something I was going to talk about regardless. Look, Arizona's bench play has been suspect all year. And when you look at, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, teams, how do we judge this Arizona team when they haven't really played any legitimate contenders? You look at they've played Purdue. That's the one I keep going back to because Purdue's now the number 3 team in the country, mm-hmm. and they're the one that looks legit out of all the quote-unquote decent teams you've seen Arizona play. A&M has fallen out of the rankings. They're not in the top 25 RPI. Arizona State has dropped significantly since Arizona beat them. So if you're looking for where does Arizona match up against the best of the best, if the Final Four was starting tomorrow, look at their game against Purdue.
Yeah.
And
that's a pretty good barometer.
Yeah, and they lost by 20, 21?
25.
Yeah, 20. Okay, got blown out by 25. So I went ahead and took it a step further. Instead of just looking at it against Purdue, I go, okay, so where are Arizona's bench points against the top 5 teams in the country right now, who consequently are probably at least 4 out of 5 favorites to win it all this year? I mean, mm-hmm. I'd go Villanova, Purdue, Duke. I guess you could throw Virginia and Kansas in there if you wanted to, but those are the top 5 right now. Arizona's averaging 13.5 off the bench. The last 4 games especially have been really bad, no more than 8, and they've scored 5 or less in 2 of those games. So Arizona's really struggling off the bench. They're struggling to find any kind of production. You look at 3 of those top 5 teams averaging 19 points or more off the bench, coming from Villanova, Virginia, and Purdue, all averaging over 19. And if you're looking at me and going, okay, well, what's their offense look like? They're probably, you know, struggling and they have a deeper rotation. Mm-hmm. All of them are, you know, top 19. All of these top 5 teams are top 25 or better in points per game in the country. So they're all scoring at a highly efficient rate. Villanova's 5th in the country in points per game. Duke is number 1 with 92 points per game, and they average 15 off the bench. And then you look at adjusted offenses of all of them, almost all in the top 10. Sans Virginia, who kind of struggles offensively in scoring. That's obviously not their forte, it's defense. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Arizona, the point of the matter is that Arizona does not stack up well against anyone in bench points, and it is a problem. And I don't see it being resolved anytime soon. I think it's what's going to hurt them in the tournament more than anything else, more than defense, more than their ability to score or lack thereof against the zone defense. I think bench points is going to be a huge thorn in the side for Arizona, because why I bring these numbers up, why it's important, is because you look at, okay, say Arizona goes up against Purdue tomorrow. They're going to be bringing 19 points off the bench, or Virginia. They're going to be bringing 22 points off the bench. So when you're rotating guys in and out, when Arizona's playing with a six-man rotation, Virginia's going to be able to go pretty deep and still get as much production as when their starters were on the court.
Well, and going back to that Purdue game when Arizona lost by 25, Purdue actually had 2 7-footers to match up on DeAndre Ayton and Dusan Ristic. So they had the size to match up with Arizona. When you mix in an additional 3-4 guys coming off the bench, that's when Arizona starts to get bogged down, and that's why, I mean, again, the Bahamas trip, Arizona just played like dog crap. I mean, let's just be straight up about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They played like dog crap.
The worst they could.
Again, if they were to play Purdue at McHale Center, I still think Purdue would keep it a very close game. I really do. Because
they're a tough team. They're one of my favorites to win all right now. I mean, they're big inside. They're versatile. They can shoot the three. They're a good team. And again, that's, I mean, that's my parameter for where Arizona matches up right now, because it's the best team they've played all year. The only legitimate team they've played all year. Moving on to the next question here. From writing, Twitter user, wow, this is a nice, I like this. Writing is.
Like
Domingo, Writinguez, 99. With February right around the corner, I feel like this team will remain inconsistent no matter what. Do you share the same thinking? Why or why not?
Well, I don't think they're very inconsistent on defense. Again, against Stanford, they had, was it 6 blocks in just the first half alone? Arizona could, I don't think I've ever seen Arizona have 6 blocks in a game, and they had 6.
Weren't they all DeAndre?
No, 5 of them were DeAndre. and it's a crazy, crazy stat. Defensively, they were inconsistent. But then, because they had the blocks in the first half, and then in the second half, when they made that comeback, when they were down by 11, it was all steals. You saw Parker Jackson Cartwright and Alonzo Trier and Raleigh Alkins get some steals. So I think on the defensive side of the ball, the backcourt needs to be more consistent. But I think Arizona's been just as consistent as the entire season.
Well, I mean, let's look at the problems.
DeAndre Ayton's been consistent. DeAndre
Ayton has been. Alonzo Trier, more or less, been pretty consistent. He's had a couple, I don't want to say poor shooting performances, but a couple off games
against Colorado.
Then he's come back with 3 out of 4 20-point games, and I think the other one was like 19 or 15 points or something. So, he's productive, and we'll get to more on Trier in a minute here. But, I mean, Justin said it. They haven't necessarily been inconsistent. It's the same issues we've been talking about all year. Defense. A lot of fans chime in and say Sean Miller against the zone is a problem. Bench points have been a problem all year. So it's more fixing those issues than it is inconsistent, and I think that's a big thing for Arizona and Sean Miller. Is they know where they're lacking on the court, and I think that helps them improve in those categories when you can kind of pin down, okay, this is what we need to get better at.
Yeah, but February is going to prove us a lot, because that will be the latter portion of the Pac-12 season. We'll definitely see what their true colors are.
Absolutely.
Again, they still have a couple more road trips. They still got to play the Washington schools, and then they host the LA schools, and then they go to Oregon. Oregon schools are going to be tough. Again, they have a couple of tough road trips.
Trace Tinkle.
The official Trace Tinkle
full
podcast.
Full circle. We always come full circle here.
Back to Trace Tinkle. All right, so again, but this week, Arizona plays at home. But first of all, we'd just like to thank you all for your Twitter mailbag questions, Facebook questions.
Hashtag Facebag.
that should be like our...
Yeah, it's the Twitter... Ask Blatt. It's now Facebag.
Hashtag Facebag.
We've downgraded in the sexiness of our hashtags. We've gone from Ask Blatt to Facebag. We'll make it work. We'll find something. Keep tuning in and hitting us up for all of your questions.
Hashtag Facebook. All right. So thank you all for your Twitter questions, your Facebook comments. It's time to go ahead and preview Arizona taking on Colorado. Arizona now number 11. The last time they played the Buffaloes, did not go so well for the Wildcats. They lost in the Rocky Mountains to Colorado by just 2 points, but it was a very close game. Arizona gave up yet another lead, and that was the game that Sean Miller said, "I can't get these guys to play for me." And that's when everybody exploded, like, oh my God, did Sean Miller really just say that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sean Miller's never said that before.
Mm-hmm.
Things have been different since then, would you say?
Absolutely. I think they've, well, yes and no. I still have the same concerns I had 2 weeks ago when Arizona lost to Colorado. I still have the same concerns and reservations about this team. What I will say is that comment, I think, I don't know if the team heard it and kind of took offense to it in a good way. Miller hasn't echoed that comment since then, and I think that's something that they're playing better defense. They're starting to, at least. Mm-hmm. You talk about consistency. They're starting to play more consistent defense. But yeah, I think that was a huge issue because you had never heard Sean Miller say that in his tenure here. I mean, since he took over in 2008-2009, you haven't really heard him not get through to a team. You know, that's always that's the forefront of Arizona basketball is their coach Sean Miller. So it was interesting to hear that, and I think that's why it kind of made the waves that it did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. I think they've gotten better all around. They're going to keep improving. They're going to need to keep improving. Should they get there? And one of those areas of improvement is Alonzo Trier. As weird as that is to say, one of their best players, if not the best player on the team, after DeAndre Ayton, he needs to keep improving.
Yeah. And Sean Miller said that in Monday's press conference. He said that the best basketball has yet to be seen for Alonzo Trier. He still thinks there is a whole nother level he can get to. Let's go ahead and hear what Sean Miller had to say.
I still think that there's one more level that he's going to get to sometime over this month, maybe next month. February is probably when it'll happen, where, you know, that he takes some of the things that he's improved on and really finishes it off. But you can't take for granted his ability to make clutch free throws at the end of games. He's the best that I've ever seen at getting there, wanting the ball, going to the line and delivering. And, his efficiency shooting the ball from three, especially when he gets good looks, and learning how to play against different defenses. We've had teams trap him. Colorado was one. They had a lot of different types of zones. Some zones really stick on him, others don't. So, you know, he's learned how to play against a variety of defenses as well. But we need him to be at his best, and, you know, I think for our team to really have a great season in the Pac-12, you know, he's going to have just weeks like he just had, and our team needs him to be a great player, and he's capable of doing it for sure.
So, yeah, I totally agree with Sean Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good at getting to the free throw line. However, against Stanford, he missed the free throw late in the game. So when Sean Miller was saying, like, he's the best at making...
Missed two.
He missed two. Yeah. And then when Sean Miller said, when he's the best at making clutch free throws, I was recording that, like, is he, though? Is he?
He is.
He just had a hiccup against against Stanford. But, I mean, other than DeAndre Ayton catching a lob or just completely mm-hmm. being a bully in the paint, I can't think of a better option on offense than Alonzo Trier. And if Sean Miller thinks that, man, there's still a whole nother level he can get to, oh, man. Look out. Because one thing I like about Alonzo Trier is he's a big Kobe fan. He loves Kobe.
That's the only thing about Alonzo Trier, isn't it?
He always wears Kobe's. He's always, he's always got that Mamba mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think, man, if he gets into a game where he's just really feeling it and it's like a Pac-12 championship or a Sweet 16 or Elite 8 or even a Final Four game where he's really in his zone, oh, man, I'm looking forward to seeing Alonzo Trier take over games because I know he's capable of doing it.
Is it fair to say Arizona goes as far as Alonzo Trier goes?
Yeah, that's not...
Oh, because, I mean, you look at DeAndre. DeAndre Ayton's always, going to be DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to give you 20 and 10 a game, more or less. I think how Alonzo Trier plays is how good this Arizona team could be. If Alonzo Trier has another level that he can get to that we haven't even seen this year or last year when he was lighting up UCLA or whatever it may be, Alonzo Trier at his best. If there's another level beyond that, I mean, you can put to rest a lot of our reservations we've had about this team all year really quick.
Yeah.
Again, that's a big if. We're kind of taking Sean Miller on his word here. You saw a couple Fox analysts today pick Arizona in their Final Four with their way too early Final Four, maybe because of what Sean Miller said about Alonzo Trier. He has that capability. He's that kind of player for Arizona. He has been all year. We might not have been talking about it every single week like we do DeAndre Ayton or Parker Jackson Cartwright or whatever it may be, but he is that guy for Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is their go-to scorer, and I think Arizona goes as far. I mean, if Alonzo Trier improves, I think they can make a run, and if he stays where he's been, not that that's bad, but if he stays where he's been, I think a lot of these problems that we've been seeing are still going to be there.
We just mentioned that earlier when we were talking about Alex Barcelo. And so why have Alex Barcelo when you have Alonzo Trier as your backup point guard?
Yeah.
And that's another thing is Sean Miller has really honed in on saying that Alonzo's game is so much more polished. Mm-hmm. He's starting to pass more. You're starting to see him get more active and getting a couple more rebounds a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alonzo Trier, when he was a freshman, he was just a guy where you would give the ball to him on the wing and say, hey, drive to the basket, get to the free throw line. Do something. Now, he is not only driving.
He's a scorer.
His outside shot has so much improved.
Absolutely. In saying that, I do want to see him get to the line more because, like you said, he can score, absolutely. But if you give him the ball on the wing and he starts driving, they're going to have to protect him inside or they're going to have to come up with some kind of game plan, whether it's a zone or whether you go man up so to try to protect the inside of the key. You're going to have to come up with that plan. And when you know Alonzo Trier is hitting from the outside and he can drive, that's a scary combo. I mean, I think Alonzo Trier is at his best when he's shooting 10 free throws a game.
And if you're Alonzo Trier and you see that driving into the lane, mm-hmm. or if you're a defender seeing Trier drive into the lane, mm-hmm. you're going to switch over, and what does that mean? Hey, what's up, DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah, exactly. Boom. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing.
When Shaq and Kobe. Yeah.
And Arizona has the other scorers where if Alonzo Trier starts coming inside, he can dish it to someone else, whether it's DeAndre Ayton sitting at the top of the post. I mean, you put the ball in DeAndre Ayton's hands at the top of the key, he'll do whatever he wants. He can pull up from there and shoot. He'll spin move right around you. Again, I mean, when you're as versatile as Arizona is, it pays to have a player like Alonzo Trier who can hit from the outside and get inside, good free throw shooter, good at finishing at the rim. That's what Alonzo Trier needs to keep doing and keep improving in every one of those categories.
Mm-hmm. Arizona will go as far as Alonzo Trier goes. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, that will do it for episode 70. The Arizona Wildcats take on the Colorado Buffaloes on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Again, that game will be broadcasted FS1. Mm-hmm. So, Fox Sports 1 at McHale Center, number 11, Arizona, taking on Colorado. For Dominic, I'm Justin. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to download the free Wildcaster app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. And if you don't want to do any of that, then subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.